Third, Gerling resumed, I know there are far more members of the Coruscantian priesthood who share my view of the state of Mother Church's soul than anyone in the temple or in Zion has ever dreamed. I'm sure I need hardly tell you this, after what you've seen in Karis, and in Emerald, and in Chisholm. Yet I think it deserves to be stated anyway. The group of four, and the vicarate as a whole, have made the serious, serious error of assuming that if they can suppress internal voices of criticism, if they can use the power of the Inquisition to repress demands for reform, then those voices and those demands have no strength, pose no threat. Unfortunately for them, they're wrong. And there are pastors in this very city who prove my point. Bishop Kaisi is already aware of several of them, but I hope, my lord, you'll take the opportunity to attend Mass at St. Catherine soon. I think you'll hear a voice you recognize in Father Timon's. I hope, however, that you'll also recognize that what you're hearing is a Coruscantian voice, not that of a man who considers himself a Carisian. He paused once more, raising one eyebrow, and Adamson nodded again more firmly. A valid distinction, and one I'll strive to bear in mind, the bishop acknowledged. On the other hand, I scarcely thought of myself as a Carisian when all of this began. I imagine that, in the fullness of time, your Father Timon may actually make something of the same transition on his own terms.
He may, my lord. Gerling's tone conveyed something less than confidence in that particular transition, and he grimaced.
I'll be honest, the Archbishop went on, and admit that the sticking point for quite a few Coruscantians is the assassination of Prince Hector and the Crown Prince. Whatever his faults from the perspective of other princedoms, and I'm probably more aware of them than the vast majority of Coruscantians, Prince Hector was both respected and popular here in Coruscant. Many of his subjects, especially here in the capital, bitterly resent his murder, and the fact that the Church of Karis hasn't condemned Caleb for it makes the Church, in turn, suspect in their eyes. And to be brutally honest, it's a point upon which those trying to organize opposition to both the Church and the Empire are playing with considerable success.
The Church, Adamson said, and for the first time there was a hard, cold edge in his voice, hasn't condemned Emperor Caleb for the murder of Prince Hector because the Church doesn't believe he was responsible for it. Obviously, condemning the rulers of the Church's sole secular protector for an act of cold-blooded murder would be politically very difficult and dangerous. Nonetheless, I give you my personal assurance that Archbishop Michael and I genuinely and sincerely believe the Emperor had nothing at all to do with Prince Hector's assassination. If for no other reason than because it would have been so incredibly stupid for him to have done anything of the sort. In fact,
he closed his mouth with an almost audible snap and made an angry, brushing away gesture before he sat back, firmly, in his armchair. The office was very still and quiet for several seconds, until, finally, Gerling stirred behind his desk.
"If you'll recall, my lord," he said, and his tone was oddly calm, almost mild, considering what had just passed between him and Adamson. "I said I had four primary reasons for accepting this office. I fully realize that what you were about to say, what you stopped yourself from saying because you realized how self-serving it would sound, is that you believe it was Mother Church who had Prince Hector killed.